Welcome to our five-part podcast series, Dental Practice Pain Points and How to Overcome Them. In these podcasts, we tackle the everyday challenges clinics face, from clinical workflows to team productivity, practice growth, and everything in between. Your host for these podcasts is Carl Schmidt, the Executive Vice President of ClearDent, who has served the Canadian dental profession in various capacities for over 30 years. Each episode will share valuable tips and strategies designed to strengthen your practice. Throughout the series, we'll bring guest speakers, industry experts, and dental professionals who will share their experiences, struggles, and solutions that made all the difference. Regardless of your journey, this podcast is your go-to guide for turning challenges into opportunities. We can't wait for you to listen, learn, and grow with us.
Welcome to our five-part podcast series, Dental Practice Pain Points and How to Overcome Them. Today's episode focuses on common challenges within the clinical workflow. My name is Carl Schmidt, and I'll be your host for this podcast. We'll be discussing three pain points today: wasted time and gaps in clinical notes, inflexible and incompatible technology ecosystems, and difficult-to-use software systems. And today, it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Amrish Khanna, who's the founder of OraQ, to provide firsthand insights into common challenges dental practices face. Dr. Khanna is a dentist and an entrepreneur who has been innovative in the world of dental technology. I also have with us today our very own product manager, Samantha Leonard, who's been well-versed in all different kinds of software applications in the dental space, and we're so happy to have her. So just to kind of kick off, Dr. Khanna, you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you came to dentistry and a little bit more on what you do today?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Carl, for having me on the podcast here. Excited to be here today and share some of my experiences and insights on those pain points that you described. My journey, I'm a born and raised Calgarian and went to dental school at the University of Alberta. And in practicing over the past 17 years, took the plunge, as I call it, from dental drill to keyboard here in founding OraQ AI, which is an innovative AI platform that's the only clinical AI platform out there today that standardizes a comprehensive patient assessment and directly engaging with patients around transparency and control of data. So that's the plunge that I've taken. Had to learn a lot along the world on the way around AI, machine learning, technology, data, integrations, all the pain points you described. And it's been a fun journey, but really focusing on like, how do we make what we do as clinicians and the entire dental team better every day so we can serve our patients better and also at the same time ensure that we can grow thriving and profitable businesses right the right way. So that's the mission that I've been on. Outside of that, practiced, for, as I said, shared 17 years, co-owned two practices in Calgary, multiple doctors working for us, had an interesting journey when it came to my entrepreneurial side of things, where we actually lost our first clinic to the 100-year flood that hit Calgary back in 2013, just a year after we bought it. And so that was a really big shift for me that I think moved me to be a dentist who owned a business to really becoming an entrepreneur and a business owner who practiced dentistry and really having to roll up my sleeves and think about business differently, think about optimization, efficiencies, patient care, driving, profitability, all in a different way. So that's what I attribute that experience to, a pathway that, later set me to where I am, I think, on OraQ. Love dentistry, love education, involved in teaching, my own education platform, the U of A community is a big part of my life too, in terms of giving back. And then my wife is a dentist and two young girls that keep our family busy.
Absolutely wonderful introduction. And I think that tells a fantastic story on where you've been and where you're going. I think we're so happy to have you as a ClearDent partner as well. And kind of over to ClearDent, Sam, you've been with the company for quite some time and in the industry for a long time as well. Tell us a little bit about where ClearDent's going and what you've been through and how things are shaping up in your world.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me on the podcast. I'm excited to dive into the topics, that we hold near and dear to our heart. And similar to Dr. Khanna, I've been in dentistry for about 17 years. I actually stopped counting after I hit year 15. It all kind of blends into one anyways. But I had a background where I started off as a dental assistant and did that for quite a few years and, changed positions within within the dental practice, learned front back, and then went into managing multiple ortho clinics. Once I stepped into that management component, then I started to realize that there was a big gap in HR within the dental landscape. And that's where I started an HR firm and eventually expanded to an HR software. So that's really where my software skills came into place. I love the facet of being able to solve somebody's problems with just a few clicks and really, you know, improve workflow, improve work-life balance. And eventually I came into working with ClearDent here and doing the same thing and continuing that innovation journey. You know, we've seen the dental industry evolve over the last couple of decades here, from working on paper, you know, sending out postcards as reminders for recalls, to having things like cloud software and AI. So there's a lot of things that have changed. And, you know, I love working with ClearDent to be able to help in that evolution and helping dental practices embrace this new technology. So I'm excited to dive deep into this conversation with both of you today.
And I can say that with 20 some odd years of ClearDent experience in this market today, and how software has evolved, from our perspective, we've seen a lot of changes in the dental environment. We consistently see conversations with dentists that kind of get us into some of the pitfalls. And what they tell us is that, and a lot of surveys back this up too, is that staff shortages, the economic impact of things going on in Canada today and other places, the plethora of new technologies that are being introduced, the AIs. Dr. Khanna, you're obviously well versed in that as well, and we're seeing it from a different landscape in the imaging side and things like that. So we see all these new products come to the market. They're blasted out there on LinkedIn or whatever social platforms, and a lot of advertising going into that. So we're seeing that. And then, of course, just on the practice side, they're seeing increased competition, which I pretty much know that you'd have something to say about that as well, that there's more dental practices and lots of consolidation going on. So kind of going into that, diving a little bit deeper into that, Dr. Khanna, can you tell me a little bit more about the kind of day in life? You're not that far off from being a practitioner. You know so many dentists out there. What are some of the highlights in terms of common clinical workflow pain points that you've experienced? And maybe just tell us a little bit about the environment today from your vantage point.
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. I think, you know, the things that you highlighted there on the changing aspects of the economic landscape, you know, what's driving the business of dentistry, and then, you know, the people side of dentistry too, which, you know, can Sam, you've had lots of experience in on the HR side, right? But how all those things coming together in a post-COVID world, I think, have changed the way we really run our businesses and how we look at, you know, retention of our team, differentiation of our practices, and ultimately driving growth. So whether it be a single practice owner just trying to make sure they're running a healthy practice, to a group, or to somebody that's setting themselves up for maybe a consolidation or in a consolidated environment in a DSO already. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's dealing with similar challenges, but just at different scales, right? And, you know, in the day in the life of a dentist sort of thing, you know, what drove me to even getting into formulating our ORIQ was really, I think, three big things that I saw in my world that I think, you know, dentists would share regardless of what type of practice they're in today. Is, you know, one is our abilities of having to be able to take in a vast amount of information, process quickly to be able to come up with an effective diagnosis and treatment plan is hard. Like, and then you factor in the amount of distractions that you have through a day, especially if you're a business owner and a provider together running your business. You're just trying to, you know, get a new hire because you're dealing with a hygienist that gap in your practice right now, or whatever it is, running behind financial things, all these decisions. But as we've advanced on that technological landscape that you shared, Carl, over the past 20 years, we've had these advents of these amazing technologies that have come to, you know, our day to day. But as a dentist, we still have to piece it all together. So you're trying to piece everything together amongst a busy, crazy day of distractions and your family life and everything. So you're not just dealing with the patient in the chair and the film radiograph anymore, right? Like you've got a practice management software, you've got digital images, you've got 3D images, you've got 3D scans, you've got intraoral photos, you've got AI softwares, you know, you've got components giving you data or analyzing data in a practice management software. So how do you piece all this together? That I think is really one big, big thing that's difficult these days and is on everybody's mind. The other piece is like when you look at the result of that is how does that translate to discrepancy amongst patient care? Because now if you've got multiple providers, whether they're multiple docs or multiple hygienists in a practice, everybody's ability to piece all that together is different. And so now they're all looking at patients a little differently. The patients are sometimes getting inconsistent recommendations. We're leaving care opportunities on the table and so on. And then that translates lastly to, you know, profitability, right? Everyone wants to figure how do I differentiate my practice? How do I, you know, drive that different experience? How do I set my EBITDA or profitability up in a way that when I'm ready to be acquired, or if I'm a growing group or already in a DSO, that I can maintain the growth that's required for my organization. So I think those three things are, you know, a combination of the day-to-day challenges that we see and experience and make it, you know, there's a beauty behind all that because we're blessed with so much information at our fingertips to do our job better. But then at the same time, that can get overwhelming too, and then result in, you know, these discrepancies.
And most likely a lot of stress in the practice, whether it's the practitioner and the team around you as well, I would imagine. If you're kind of going into the clinical notes aspect and some of the gaps and scattered and incomplete notes and inconsistent documentation, let's talk a little bit about that. Where do you find that in terms of how much time you're wasting or inefficiencies that result in, you know, maybe poor patient care? And really just trying to get to the bones of that. How much is that causing in terms of stress for practices today?
You know, I think I'd see it as like the two aspects. And sorry, was that to me, Carl, or did you?
Yeah, want... let's. Okay. Yes.
Let's... sorry, I'm talking away here, Simon. I think two things. One is how does that impact our ability to drive a proper patient experience and continuity of care. I think that's one bucket. And the other is risk and compliance, right? Because risk and compliance might not be as top of mind to your single practice owner, but it's definitely top of mind to growing groups and DSOs, because making sure that we're compliant, making sure that we are doing things the right way and, you know, doing the right thing for the patient. And God forbid there's ever a complaint or a legal case, that we had the right documentation behind everything that we were doing, right? So it's a stressful thing, I think, in the sense that it takes time to achieve low risk mitigation and compliance. And then it takes time to get everybody on the same page when you're trying to go with continuity of care and patient experience. Because if I did an exam on a patient today, I documented it using my little template or my abbreviations that I'm used to doing in my assistant. And 6 months later, that patient's back sitting in another doctor's chair in the office. Well, are they looking at that? Do they know where to look? Can they gather the information that happened at the examination appointment that I did in the same quick way so that they know what they're doing today and why, right? And so that's something there. And I'll share like a last thing, just kind of from the AI perspective, is that data and documentation becomes so important on a clinical perspective to be able to do anything with that data and be able to drive better decision-making, diagnosis, treatment planning. But what I learned in the very early days is how bad our data is documented in our industry. And this goes not just dentistry, it's medicine, it's just healthcare in general. And the problem around back to continuity care is that we're in this pattern where we only document what is wrong, right? We don't actually often document things that are okay in a patient. But then if you didn't document what's okay, how do you know that the dentist, the hygienist, the assistant, or the provider even looked at that, right? And that's the kind of crazy part of documentation and clinical notes. So how do you find that balance and interested? I know you guys are doing a lot of innovative stuff there too. So like, how do you guys think about that to to look at finding that balance between efficiency, time, and compliance, I guess, all together when it comes to notes.
And Sam, I think I'd love to hear from you on this one.
Yeah, I think I just kind of want to dive a little bit back into what Dr. Khanna was mentioning in terms of, you know, how much information you have to process and key information that's required to be able to diagnose and to be able to create a treatment plan. And when you think about, you had discussed that really nicely and kind of, you know, explained the patient journey. But when you start to compound that, and, you know, that's just one patient. On average, how many patients do you think you were seeing a day? Probably 25, 30 patients. So this is all the information that you have to have at your fingertips every single time you bounce from chair to chair. And you need to make sure that, you know, you have that patient care as well. You make it personalized. So you really only have a few minutes to just kind of gather that information, familiarize yourself with that patient, know their key information in terms of their medical history, because that's just one aspect, right? You know, those are important things that we need to make sure that we're well aware of, because that's also going to impact the diagnosing and the treatment plan. You want to take a look at their existing conditions, the pending treatment plans, the conversations that you had 6 months, a year ago that you need to remember before you sit down and speak with that patient again and follow up with them, as well as looking at the x-ray. So, you know, just those few key areas, that's five different spots that you need to gather the information from. And if you don't have that well-organized system, then the process becomes, like you said, overwhelming. And it's just leading to missed details, rushed conversations, you know, to your point, no continuity of care. And perhaps your patient doesn't really see the value because you don't have the complete picture to be able to explain it and educate them. So that's where it's really important for us when we're working with, you know, customers like yourself and over 1500 practices across Canada, is we need to really understand what's involved in that entire journey to be able to make sure that the workflow is seamless. You have the information that you need at your fingertips, and you can really provide that personalized and unique care to every single patient that comes through your door. And that's what's, you know, keeps the lights on and keeps the doors open is your patients. And so we want to make sure that they're well taken care of. And that's really what goes into seeing how we can streamline that and how we can create, you know, clinical notes and documentations to make your life easier, standardize things, provide that continuity of care to every patient that walks through the door. You know, if you're seeing 25 a day, that's 125 a week, that's 500 a month. You know, times 12, you do the math. That's a lot of information to store and to retain, and you need that key detail quickly.
Sam, do you feel that some of the automation tools help with these concerns, and anything within ClearDent that streamlines this so that, our goal is obviously to get the practices more efficient, because the main pain points here is ultimately can lead into staff morale and all kinds of hiccups in the clinic. Is there anything specifically today that you feel customers are using to streamline and remove this problem, or at least diminish it, so that they can work more effectively?
Yeah, definitely. I feel that our clinical notes are extremely comprehensive, as they should be, right? Every single chart should have that comprehensive notes. Like Dr. Khanna had mentioned, you know, your findings, but also the good findings. You know, they're good oral health conditions, and then as well some of the key parts that you know, we need to treatment plan and build a you know, care around. So making sure that you have those consistent notes, and that can take your team a long time to be able to fill out during an exam. So you need something to be able to keep up with the dentist as they're going through the exam and saying, hey, there, we've got an MOD on this tooth and da 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 da. And all of a sudden you're just scrambling and trying to write 100-page essay in 2 minutes, right? So making sure that you have some clinical note templates that have the merge fields, we have user defined fields, we have check boxes. So in that way, it can be built to follow every single step of that exam. And it has the key information that you could literally just check off or just fill in a box to be able to gather and put all that information. So in that way, it's reducing the gaps, we're standardizing the care, and just really automating that process.
Amrish, do you remember the days when paper-based systems were still around?
Oh yeah.
How
I
did
should
we
bring dental
manage,
school
right?
days too.
I really look back at those days and just, well, how did you run a dental practice like that? But yet here we are. So great answer, Sam. Appreciate that. In terms of just basically the dental digital ecosystem today, with so many different software, extensions, so to speak. We have practice management software and ClearDent that does its work. We have imaging systems, we have marketing systems, and there's a number of different tools always popping up. And so integration, or at least inflexible integration, when there's things out there that people are trying to use and there's no integration, I think that causes some concerns in work fragmented workflows or individual data silos. We see that all the time, different servers still to this day where data's sitting in their own servers and things like that. And most likely just because of the clicking around and whatever that's still going on these days, there's most likely a negative impact on the patient experience because of that, those hops and things and what teams have to do to work through that. In your lifespan, obviously in dental, you would have seen a number of different scenarios where you're working with practice, just in your own experience or other practices that have so many different ways to do things. How much did it impact you, and what have you done in your world to kind of limit that siloed approach in bringing things together?
Yeah, I think this is sort of what I was sharing is that one of the big pain points in my day-to-day as a dentist, right, is that you have all these technologies, but nothing communicates with one another, right? And you're pulling up your patient information in a PMS, maybe your imaging software is another software and another link in another window. Then you've got, your 3D scanner that's maybe on a rolling cart, and you've got that showing up on another one. Your CBCT, well, maybe that's a separate imaging software than even your 2DA X-rays are. So like you can see here, the list goes on, right? And you got to make sure that you're pulling it up. You have to make sure you're looking at it. You have to know where to look. You have to make sure it's ready to be opened quickly, because if it's not quick enough, I don't have the time to do it. My agendas is already running late, right? And so how do, again, then I piece all that back to just my conversation with the patient versus me sitting there on computer screens while my patient's sitting in their chair twiddling their thumbs, right? And so this is the definitely a challenge. And I think what I see, forward thinking innovative companies like both of ours thinking this way, that we know we have to integrate, we have to work together, because without doing that, we're all serving the same end users, which is our clinical teams and our patients, right? And we're not serving different people here. And how can they deliver care if we're not actually talking, we're not actually having conversations like this, we're not finding technological solutions to drive a better workflow? Because if the workflow is more seamless, less clicks, like you said, Sam, you've got all of a sudden data at your fingertips that allows us to leverage the power of all that technology to do better for our patients, and leverage the power of that technology for our patients so that they can value our recommendations, value the reason why they have to be back in the chair for whatever that next appointment really is. So I think the ability for all this technology to start integrating, talking, and this is where the industry is moving, I think, now finally. Like, there's leaders, I think, like, our companies that have been paving the path and pushing for it. There's still lots of closed systems out there, but I think the closed systems are starting to realize if we don't start opening ourselves up to an integration piece, they lose business too, because a dentist is going to say, well, if that thing doesn't work with that thing, it's just not worth my time, even though the value in that technology might be so powerful. Right. It's just I don't have the time, and my team doesn't have the time, and I'm already struggling to get, team members in my office. And so like I'm just putting too many things on them. So definitely believe in the elimination of those data silos, bringing the technology together. That's what we're all about at OraQ2, is how do we analyze that clinical information and give it at the fingertips even before patients in the door, right? And how do we bring those technologies together from a patient education, patient experience, and a treatment acceptance perspective as well.
And you'd think after this long with computers being out there, that would be a perfect world and everything would be seamlessly integrated. That buzzword of seamless integration, so to speak, has really been just that, a buzzword, because we came from an environment of half paper, half digital imaging, all the way through the last 30 years and plus, since, Windows computers at least started to come onto the market. So I think the history of computing and dentistry has always had some form of disintegration, and it's still prevalent to this day. I think, Sam, if you want to talk a little bit about what Clearden's done to move that path forward for dentists, because there's been a lot of things on the imaging side alone that have been cleared up that were at one point we were looking at X-rays and film-based X-rays, which are still actually out there today, and paper charts and so on and so forth. So what's been accomplished at Clearden, not just over the last year or two, but in I'd say the last decade? It's come a long way.
Yeah, well, like you said, dentistry has come a long way. And so, just like every single dental business practice owner, they need to evolve and adapt to be able to make sure that their business is growing and thriving. And the same thing, we need to continue to support our customers in every venture or every new chapter that is in front of them. And for us, being able to see how we can work with some great innovative products like with OraQ, for example, with Dr. Khanna and all the great things that they're doing over there, is being able to make sure that we, again, are saving clicks, but also being able to have that seamless workflow. Because if you're hopping around from, software to software, like we've talked about, it just really makes things disorganized. And we're missing a lot of things on the table as well. Like, not only are we spending a lot of time, but we're also missing out on treatment revenue. And if we're not actually looking at that software that we've invested, lots of money in to be able to capture beautiful images, let's say, and if we're not actually using it to properly diagnose and take a look and see that, hey, we actually have bone loss here, we should be doing something about this, or or whatever the case is. But if we're not actually using that software to capture revenue, then we're essentially leaving money on the table, and the patient's not getting the proper care that they deserve. So really working at seeing how we can do API integrations, with companies like OraQ. So in that way, when they have that amazing technology at their fingertips, they don't have to hop around between system to system. Let's, take a picture here and then download it and create a new chart and upload it here, and spending time waiting around for things to happen. We're making all of that happen in the background with API. So there's been a lot of things that we've been working on. I know we're specifically focusing on the clinical workflows, but definitely, imaging, working with companies like OraQ, and really utilizing AI. That's the direction that practices are evolving, and that's exactly what we're focusing on and working on here in Clearden.
So Amrish, from an OraQ perspective specifically, and how you feel integration and just the work that you're doing in the software space, how do you feel that's going to eventually and is today for your current customers transforming practice efficiency? Like what's really happening inside this to make practices it put them in a better space in terms of workflow and efficiencies.
Yeah, I think from an AI perspective, definitely having the right data, clean data to be able to work with is so important, because you can't do anything with unreliable, bad data, right? Like the whole garbage in, garbage out concept in AI, right? And so, for one, first, like being able to have partnerships like we have together, where we can really say, hey, this is the type of data we're looking at and why. Here's how can you expose that data to us through your API so that we can have that seamless flow, right? And be able to allow the flow to happen in a way that ultimately drives a better outcome for the user. And so I think that's the first step, definitely. The advancement of that, I think, is going to come towards how do multiple systems now start to work and integrate in a flow from a user experience perspective, right? And so you know, the first piece with us working together, all other companies is all like, okay, we just got to get our data to flow, right? And now we've got the data to flow. So your system can do something, my system can do something, and we're doing something together better. Then that in itself has been a huge jump, because the example you shared, Sam, about having to create a second patient record, put something from one thing manually into the other, you know, these little steps that really are simple, right? But they're one more little step that compounds on a busy day. And when your assistant or hygienist have that many things to do already, right? A simple flow of something all of a sudden takes that one barrier away. So adoption, usage, value goes way up. And then I think it allows us now to focus on, okay, what does the user actually want from an experience perspective? How do they want to see that data? Where do they want to see that data? Where is that data valuable, or the AI analysis valuable, and what types of aspects of that entire clinical workflow? And so then we can now, you know, display that data from an experience and interface perspective differently. I don't know if I answered your question there fully, Carler.
I think you did. You know, the way you've put it out there, I believe, you know, for our audience, I can sense that when it's all said and done, that the efficiencies are truly in software, and whether it's softwares working together, and that's a challenge. It's always going to be there because of all the new entrants and things like that. So it's important, like Sam mentioned, that there's a back end platform where these systems unite, and that's the application programming interface, or the API, plus some additional development work. So it's always going to be important that companies like ourselves work together and continue to do that and improve the end user experience. And that's really Sam's life, is working with existing customers and getting feedback, and also companies like yours, to ensure that workflow actually works and there's not a lot of hops along the way. A little bit more about just software systems in general. You know, I do some research on, obviously, ClearDent competitors, and that's part of my job. And I think that for the most part, I've still seen the same number of software packages out there. There's about 40 in Canada, which is an astonishingly large number based on, you know, what's been going on in the industry in terms of consolidation and things like that. But nonetheless, there are a lot of software systems out there, and they've been around, some of them for longer than we have. And there's legacy systems, so these on-premise systems that are not cloud-based and things like that. It has to introduce some learning curves for people that are either switching to more modern systems, or just in where they're at because they haven't seen daylight from the things that they've been doing. So inefficient charting and different interfaces, and which we see all the time, which is one of the reasons why people come to us, that they want to see this connected digital experience, and that goes right into their patient records and different critical alerts for their patients, and ultimately leading to a lot of staff frustrations from what we can see. You know, in your experience, Dr. Kine, did you go through that phase when, you know, you might have used different systems, practice management or otherwise? How did you flow through the world, and how do some of your peers flow through that world when they may be using software systems that aren't very efficient or disconnected or disjointed, so to speak?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's the systems and the features that are out there now, and how it allows us to work in an effective and efficient way in our practice is so important. And then also the support and the implementation and that pathway is so important too, right? Because there are some, you know, in your world, you know, not to name any names, there's PMSs out there that you would probably say are just like really only one step up from a piece of paper, right? And but practices are still using it, right? And so why are they still on that system when you have like an amazing system like ClearDent out there that could solve 20 other problems of theirs, right? But it ultimately, I think, comes down to change management, right? And how are the dentist or owner is maybe so afraid to introduce a big change, and how that will impact the team and retention of the team and all these things, versus seeing the value that a change like that can provide, right? And so whether it's you guys or us at ORIQ, we're both talking potentially in that specific example about a different way of doing things, and how do you really communicate and I think help the user understand that the light that you're trying to show them is far better than the pain they might go through to change to get there, right? And the what they'll see on the other side of that is going to be like 10 times better than what they had before for business efficiency, flow of their workflow, better patient experience, profitability to your practice.
And I have to think, based on our data, that there are a vast number of dental practices out there, and it's not, you know, every industry has top three competitors, and dental has something similar, but there's a number of software systems out there that are still what you can say legacy based. They don't have integrated charting, they don't have integrated imaging, they don't have any destination, so to speak, to leverage AI at any point, because you do need to be thinking about cloud interfaces in a different way of computing. From that perspective, Sam, I think it makes a whole lot of sense to talk a little bit about the user-friendly interface that we have, that ClearDent has, and some of the other things that do help you stand out from the competition.
Yeah, and I just want to elaborate on Dr. Canna's point in terms of, you know, sometimes these practices, when they've been using a system for 10, 15, 20 years, you know, they think that that's, you know, the best way of doing things. That's the way that they've kind of have lived their life over the past couple of decades. And that's the, I'm sure you've heard this many times, but that's how we do it here, right? That was typically the comment that we get here. This is how, you know, how we've always done it. And so sometimes practices don't know that there is a better way out there. There is a better way to manage your patient, to be able to have an improved patient experience, to be able to have the right diagnostic tools and the right tools to be able to manage all of your charting and your clinical notes, that there is a better way of managing, you know, your team and their performance. Like, there's so many solutions out there, but sometimes I think when we're kind of stuck in a little way of seeing a certain thing, that we don't really know that there's a bigger world out there and more opportunities and possibilities. And so that's really where, you know, it's important for us as well to understand when there is that change management that's involved, that maybe when the dentist or the operational manager is like, hey, I see that there's a lot of inefficiencies here. We're leaving a lot of revenue on the table. We're wasting a lot of time. I think we need a better system. Let's make that change. But now they have a team of 10 or a team, you know, a bigger team that they need to kind of hop on that journey as well of making some changes. So, you know, it's important for us to make sure that we have that entire view in mind when we're creating a software, when we're developing a new feature, you know, making sure that we have the user experience in mind, making it easy. So in that way, they have the key information at their fingertips, and also making it super easy for them when it comes time to changing a software, to make sure that they not only just, you know, the first couple of days, but they're going to be using the software for years. So we want to make sure that we're continuing to support them. And, you know, with ClearDent, we have 20 years that we've been building a comprehensive and a robust system. And there are so many features and so many tools. And so sometimes when we're working with practices, they're like, I didn't know you could do that. Show me again. I want to see this, you know? So it's important for us to make sure that we're always communicating, you know, these new features, but also our existing features that they might not be aware of. So, you know, making sure that we're always educating them along the way with our Tip Tuesdays, with our webinars, our community classes, you know, so it's that entire user journey, but, you know, making sure first and foremost that all of our features, you know, we're covering every aspect of the practice. So not only just patient management, but the business management as well that's involved in having a successful practice.
I think you hit the nail on the head there with change. And I think that's always one of those, because this is a system change. It's the way you do things from an information perspective that has to be different. Otherwise, it wouldn't improve. If it was the same, it would just be the same. I think you've nailed it there, that change is something that people fear that they have to go through. And because of the busyness of practices, it sometimes takes that time. But once they do, they get through the other end of that tunnel and see the light, and all of a sudden they're working efficiently and seeing a greater profitability all the way through it. And that's just, I think, part of it. But I do feel that we're on that cusp now where where the modern dentist today, there's no one in practices anymore that don't know how to use a computer. And so I think that's coming along. And so many people are using cloud-based softwares in terms of their own business. Everything on your phone's cloud-based. So it's becoming more, I think it's going to change here pretty quickly. How do training and support play a role in all this for transitioning users, Sam? It's got to take its place in here, because it's most likely because of the change and the fear of change. Now the next step is, well, okay, if I'm going to go through this, I want to make sure I know what I'm doing at the end of it, and I want to make sure I'm properly supported when we go there.
Right. Yeah. No, it's definitely important. Even, you know, not just with the change bringing a new software, but even when you think about it, you're using it for a couple years and you've got a new staff member that starts. You're having to retrain them on not only your systems, but also how to do all the systems within your practice management system. So, you know, making it easy for these new users, whether, you know, it's a new team member or learning to become an expert within ClearDent, you know, making sure that we have those on-demand training resources, webinars, and, you know, a dedicated support team to be able to help them along the entire way from day one, you know, until day 99 plus beyond, right? So it's making sure that we have the right tools to be able to help them be productive right from the get-go.
Excellent. I want to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about the future and what it means to practices today. What's the future going to look like, and how are they going to ensure that that their practices really go through the next generation, whether it's AI and all these things coming at them from a equipment perspective, new things coming to the market. How are they going to set themselves up for the future, and what needs to happen in your minds anyway, to ensure that they're set up for success, for future-proofing your practice is an easy thing to kind of say, but what do they really need to do? What are some of the things, Dr. Khanna, in when it comes to advancements in AI and digital imaging, so to speak, and how important is it for the clinics to start looking at embracing these things? And, you know, whether it's sooner or later, it's going to come at them just like everything else has come at them. There's early adopters and there's slow to movers and some never do's, but maybe competition will drive this a little bit further ahead. But what are your thoughts on how to future-proof your dental practice?
Yeah, you know, a great question. I think, you know, when it comes to AI, obviously, that's a big part of our world in every single way today, right? You know, we're all playing with ChatGPT now, and we're doing other things to automate other aspects of our lives. So how does that factor into the clinical side? And, you know, I think going into 2025 here, AI still is the number one anticipated and continuing trend in dentistry. And, you know, now you look at the stats behind usage. I mean, over 36, I think, percent on the most recent DIAC report was that practices are now using it, right? And so when we looked at this report a couple of years ago, it was an anticipated trend. Now people are using it. Over the third of the industry is using it day to day. So what's going to happen to future-proof your practice? I mean, we have to start thinking about embracing these technologies now. And I really believe it's not just about AI, it's about automation too, right? Like, you know, you guys are doing a lot of automation in your software as well, is that these things are all driven ultimately by giving an outcome of like making some task more efficient and more valuable, right? And if we can bring efficiency in tasks better and quicker and faster, then hey, we're doing something great for our business and for our patients. So you know, AI, I think, is going to be a definite part of it. The vision that we have at OraQ ultimately is, how do we bring all these technologies together in a place of functioning in a platform of clinical excellence, give you the clinical information that you need at your fingertips to drive better precision care for your patients, show it to your patients to be able to help them understand it, and transparency and ownership of data. And so the future that I see is really an ecosystem where it's not just us and, you know, a ClearDent and a practice management system playing together. It's also the scanning companies. It's also the x-ray companies, the AI x-ray companies. We're all functioning together in an integrated ecosystem. And I think there's pathways starting to, you know, materialize that are going down that road. And all these companies, including us, are in these conversations. So that's that. I'll share one exciting thing that I think is ahead of us for AI in healthcare in general is really like, how do we leverage all these different AI models out there for this, you know, digital world of like, you know, they call it digital omniverse. And, you know, we call it your digital dental twin. Imagine now where we can actually provide clinical therapies to your digital twin for you to be able to see what happens if you went ahead with those types of treatments or not, and what the future looks like for you, right? And that's the power that, you know, I'm so passionate about with what we are building at ORIQ and what's happening in even the medical world now is, you know, true prediction and progression of disease, right? And for us to be able to answer that crystal ball question every day that patients tell us, if I can wait till my insurance turns over to do that crown, what if I could actually answer that with data, right? So that is power. And I think that's what's cool with what's happening out there. So yeah, I think exciting things happening in the world. And the last thing I'll share, Carl, you said, how do we future-proof and, you know, like begin to think differently about that? I think it's about the question needs to become now, not only like what technology do I need to bring into my practice? It's also like, how do I make sure my whole team understands the future workflow? Because I'm using this, this, and this, and I'm going to keep using this, this, and this, and probably more as technology advances. So that being a part of, like, I think our core training and our core philosophy, even in a practice, is that we have to be allotting time and space to be able to say, hey, we got to learn how that works, not just how we look at a patient and do a filling. We also have time on how are we looking at all our technologies together? How are we incorporating that, you know, recare management feature? How are we doing that with our clinical tools? How are we doing that with AI? And then how are we making sure we're giving something back to our patient? Like if they don't know, to your point, Sam, about like that there's features exist even and that they can use it, how will we ever really make sure we're doing these things properly?
Yeah, there's a lot there. And I think that's a great answer too. I feel that, you know, for the most part, there's a now and today, and then that future holds a whole lot of things. You know, having an avatar would be just wonderful to tell me how much this is going to cost. And I think we're not that far off from that. In terms of some of the today stuff, Sam, and actually how we got here, if you look at the last 20 some years, we've been a part of the digital environment for this long, and we've seen the different variations, and Clearden has done a number of things that I can say were milestone and real achievements in workflows and supporting the future that we're in now. What are we doing today, and what are we going to be doing in terms of innovations that you can tell us a little bit about that's going to continue on with the current efficiencies and minimize disruptions? But what are we looking at that you can maybe share without being too, I guess, telling us too big of a story.
Something that, you know, I'm very passionate about is our latest product has been online booking. And, you know, I think with everything that's changed over COVID, I think a lot of people are looking for more of that digital experience. They're looking for that convenience, that flexibility, and our patients' expectations have changed, right? We're doing everything from our phone. We're ordering Amazon same day. You can book everything from a restaurant to your travel online. So why can't they do the same thing for their healthcare appointments? Why can't they do that for their cleanings or for a consult? So that's something that we've been working very closely with our practices to be able to evolve this feature. And we've been seeing some amazing results. You know, patients are loving the feature of being able to book, you know, when they remember at the end of the day or as they're falling asleep, oh, I keep forgetting to call and book my dental appointment, and having to remember that the next day during business hours while they're working and trying to play phone tag with the office to actually schedule, they can do it as soon as they remember, or as soon as they get that, you know, overdue recall reminder text. So it's been a wonderful feature that we're seeing some great results with our practices. So that's something that we have in the pipeline as well. And of course, you know, working with great companies like ORIQ as well. So we've got some great things in the works and much more to come. think that'll give you a safe answer, Carl.
Yes, that's fantastic. Very safe, but very exciting as well, because I kind of know in the background what's going on there. So it's wonderful stuff. So just to kind of summarize things a little bit, the overall pain points today from that we've talked a little bit about, Sam, where do you think they really are in terms of that dental practice that you come in touch with on a regular basis? What's going on out there to kind of summarize this and help the audience think about just maybe what they're experiencing, and a lot others that may not be using our software and OraQ. What do you think some of the real pain points are out there in terms of workflow?
Yeah, I think just the, really emphasizing with what we've kind of discussed in terms of just, the gaps and the different silos that they're hopping around from that, could potentially be causing them to miss some key information, miss revenue opportunities, and ultimately, wasting precious staff time, because, time is precious, especially when you're working with a short staff. You maybe had 3 admin team members and now you're down to 1. And now this one person show up at the front desk is trying to manage all of the patients, answer the phone calls, and, check patients out. And now we're starting to see, hey, I'm noticing that we've got some big holes in our schedule, or I'm noticing we're seeing a lot more missed notes. Now, I just saw Mrs. Jones and she came in 2 weeks ago and I don't know what happened because we were too busy to finish that note. So, a lot of things that practices are struggling with right now, we need to make sure that we have the systems to be able to catch those things for them, give them the key information, automate those components, so in that way they can juggle with the different things that are thrown their way at the moment.
Great stuff. And I think that's really where we're at. And over time, I don't think the challenges in dentistry are going to get lighter, but certainly from a technology perspective, it's there to help. And I think that will continue on. I want to ask a question, Emery, a little bit about investing in technology. So if we go back, we mentioned the OneWrite days, that was pretty much free. Then you kind of got into the Windows applications and so on and so forth. And, if you look over the years, it's that model still kind of out there where someone would pay, something upfront for a piece of software, and then they pay an annual support fee. And I think for the most part, the investments in software and in yesteryear were fairly, they were different. Even though, the world has changed, we know it's going to change. I don't think people can take a look at software per se and say you're just going to pay an annual support or a monthly support fee anymore, because all of these tools now are moving to a different place, or they're having a much better return on investment. They're helping reduce stress at the practice. They're helping to get more information. They're helping to increase case acceptance and provide visibility into a practice's health. So whether a practice has one, it's one, a solo practice working away, or it's multi-sites, which seem to be growing. In terms of investing in software platforms and these kinds of technologies, how do you feel, the world's going to embrace the fact that it's not going to be, a monthly fee for a little bit of support, where these tools now have an investment that's required and the return is greater, but there's going to be some people looking at it going, well, I'm just, I'm not going to pay, I was paying $150 a month, but now with all these tools, we could be up to $2,000 and $3,000 a month. How do we look at that in terms of ensuring that the market starts to learn that and understand that it's not, the world's changing to invest in this kind of technology as a definite return? But how are those practices going to adopt that from your perspective? How do you see that learning happening?
Yeah, I think, in my whole, my education side of my world and my whole practice ownership world, I would call myself a data junkie when it came to all the numbers and everything to run a dental practice, right? And I think a large part of our industry as dentists and owners today still don't understand the ins and outs of what goes into the dollars in and the dollars out in a practice. We hold, I think, a small business mentality too dearly and too close to our heart when it comes to evaluating, I think, the dollars that we need to invest in terms of how it's going to grow what we're going to do. Because we'll spend $50,000 on a 3D scanner, but we'll question $150 a month for like a subscription, right? Like that doesn't make sense when the scanner, you know, the good old joke about how it sits there collecting dust in the back of the operatory all the time, right? So how do we shift the mindset around that? We also in our personal lives probably have 10 different subscriptions for, you know, streaming television, right? Which we're also all paying monthly subscription fees for. So the way I see this is, I think it comes, like you said it, Carl, like we have to educate ourselves, educate the industry to understand what is the return on the investment? How does that trickle down effect, I think, really work through your operational execution in your practice? Like we're either optimizing, you know, efficiencies, we're driving more revenue and driving a better experience, right? And all of those have soft and hard value, I think, to them. And how does a dentist look at, okay, if I'm going to invest this? And so, you know, I really try to get to the meat and potatoes of, you know, the stats behind what's happening in our industry today. And then what does a true investment in this type of technology going to yield, right? And hopefully they understand that and can relate that to their own practice and then really see, okay, it's worth me giving it a try, right? Because if I'm going to do that, I'm going to lead to, you know, operational efficiencies, make drive revenue or better patient experience. And all of that is going to make me better at what I do in my practice stand out, right? So.
Fantastic. I think that's fuel for another podcast, to be honest with you, just how we're going to change the mindset of dentistry on how to bring all these tools into their clinics and ensure that they understand how their dynamics are going to change over the years. It's a competitive market, like we talked about, and that's not going to change. And I think workflows have to improve to ensure that they maximize every treatment that comes into the clinic. So I'd like to invite everyone to make sure that they hit our websites, cleardent.com and auraq.ai, for more information. Both companies have ebooks and blog posts and lots of stuff, information on their websites to consider. And of course, for the most part here, I'd like to thank Samantha and Amrish for joining us here today. This has been fantastic. I look forward to many more of these. I'd like to thank our audience for attending. We hope you gained some valuable insights and ideas to help your practice thrive. Make sure to stay tuned for future episodes as we continue to explore solutions to help take your practice to the next level. We can't wait to have you back with us soon. Until then, keep pushing your practice forward.